Welcome home, everyone. Thank you for joining in on this episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. Welcome Home is a podcast where I, your host Josh, sit down for a conversation with different people who I admire and discuss whatever's on their mind, and especially focus on life at home in times like this. Wherever you are and however you're listening, thank you for your support, and once again, welcome home. Welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining in on this week's episode of Welcome Home with the Katinas. I want to remind you all that this podcast wouldn't be possible if it weren't for those of you who partner with us financially. So thank you so much for those of you who do. And if you're interested in becoming a financial partner with us, the best way to do that is to visit thekatinas.com. There's a give button there. Just click on that. It'll tell you all you need to know. Okay, I am joined today by three members of the five. It's been a while since we had an episode without a special guest, so I've been looking forward to today. Dad, Uncle John, Uncle James, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks, Josh. Are we not special?
Well, you guys, you know.
No, you're not.
With that question.
Truth be known.
But as I was thinking about today's podcast, being the last of February, I thought it would be good for us to talk about what this month has been for you guys, the love month, specifically in the context of our verse of the month, John 3:16, for God so loved the world.
Yeah.
And I'd like to ask from each of you guys, if you could just share maybe how your Valentine's Day went, or something that you've been thinking about this month through the lens of that verse.
I guess I'll go
first. The newlywed right here.
Yeah, I guess I'll go first. Yes.
Because you're still in the season where you actually do stuff on Valentine's.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's still a big
sort
deal.
Sort of.
It's kind of a low-key. This year was a kind of a low-key celebration, if you will. It was still great. I think low-key is really great for me, and I think Shelly too. But we decided to go and see One Love, Bob Marley, One Love, nice, for Valentine's Day. And we did some, I mean, as far as the theater experience, I've never done the dine-in thing.
Oh,
you know?
Neither have I.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it's like a movie and dinner.
Was it the one?
Movie and a dinner for $200.
Well, that was it. Price-wise, man, I was like, man, we did great, you know.
Oh, really?
Compared to like going to a steakhouse.
Is it the one over in Cool Springs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thoroughbred.
Do they have like tables, or like do you just eat in your seat?
You can. There's the recliner seat. We didn't do that. That bumped it up to 200.
Okay.
Now we just sat in the regular seats, and
but they're comfortable seats.
Yeah, they're comfortable. Yeah. They bring you. I mean, the food is hamburgers, but it's good. I mean, it's great. So we did that. Just really low key.
How was the movie?
Movie was great. It was not real long. I recommend it for. Okay. I mean, and Shelly is a big Bob Marley fan.
Yeah,
she was singing every song word for word. But the, you know, just the story of his emphasized his political stance,
because okay,
you know, that One Love concert was when he brought the two different political sides together for the first time.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So I don't
was this in Jamaica or
yeah,
okay
in Jamaica.
Okay.
So, but yeah, that was a great our Valentine's Day was awesome, but the month of February is a busy month. I mean, Uncle James and I celebrated another birthday. We got to celebrate a big birthday for Uncle Dave, which was awesome. So definitely a lot of obviously a lot of love. Just sharing that with our cousin community has been great. But the other thing that I've reflected, or it just comes to mind when I think about this, I mean, this current month of February, is other things that expose, you know, being irritable. You know, we just got a dog.
Oh yeah.
We got a dog this month, and he's great. He's a great dog. He's still a puppy though.
Yeah. So I hear something
but,
coming.
But he's having second thoughts.
Well, he's a puppy, but he's so big, right? And so in my mind, I'm like, you know, you shouldn't be acting this way. But he's like, man, I'm a puppy.
That's like a lot of humans.
That's like a lot of adults. Yeah. Why do you act like that?
No, I'm like, you know, I'm in my 50s now, and I remember having to wake up when my boys were really just infants to being toddlers, you know, and that's kind of where I'm back at that place. I'm like, I don't know if I signed up to do this, but you know, it's for a little while.
That is a conversation that Alexis and I have probably at least once every 2 weeks is, can you help take the dog out in the morning? Because typically it's me.
I bet Alexis, if she was here, she would say, no, it's not.
No,
it's
she
me.
Would she would she admit, yeah. It's yeah. usually me. It's always early. And so well, I know how you
early
feel.
Early and it's like 25 degrees.
Yeah, it's hard this time of year. Yeah.
It'll get better.
Wow, that's funny. Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, this month, it's the shortest month on the calendar. Not a lot going on. This Valentine's for sure. We were at a basketball game. You know, one of the girls were cheerleading, and I'm enjoying the just not being on the road, which is a blessing to be home, to take Levi to his practices, which by the way, they won the FRA first grade.
Did they win the ship?
Yeah, they won the ship.
We got to be at the semifinals.
Yeah, it's just a fun little rec league, his first time playing basketball. But I enjoy being home, number one, and being able to take him to his practices and the games. And then the girls have had busy schedules. So throughout February, like John said, we had a birthday, but it was really more just doing family stuff, just doing the normal routine. We did a one trip, I think this month, and that broke it up a little. The Super Bowl happened,
yep.
So there
one
there
of the
was
Kobe unveiling. The
yeah, so there were those things that you know that we looked forward to. But I think all in all, sometimes when there's not like big breaking news. Sometimes, I know that I need that. I need to just be in the what may seem monotonous, and just appreciate what that brings. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nothing. It's just mm-hmm. being home, and you know. So that's been it for me.
Valentine's was good for me and Mom. We actually were in California celebrating, working and celebrating Uncle Dave's, and then we got home. Well, Valentine's was like the next day, and so nobody wanted to go out. And I don't know if it's just a couple older couples like us, Josh, because Mom obviously works at home, and a lot of her clients were coming, and they're all like us, late 40s, 50s, headed to 60s. And, you know, I'd ask, what are y'all doing for Valentine's? They're like, oh, we're staying home. It's too crowded to go out, which I think it is. It's too crowded. It's more expensive. So we, I think me and Mom went and worked out and then went to we picked up tzatzikis and went home. It was good. February has been great. Like the uncle said, celebrating birthdays. Jackson, yeah. Jessica, Zion,
Mira,
Riley.
Uncle Dave.
These guys, Uncle
Dylan?
Dave.
No.
Dylan was January. Dylan so, January. No, it was a big February birthday month for the Catino family. Yep. And then, man, me and you going with the uncles going to the unveiling of the statue. I told you, I think those are one of those trips that I think because we travel so much, when it comes to doing a trip, sometimes I just self-sabotage. I'm like, nah, it's going to be fine to not go. But that was a trip that I'm really glad we did, just to enjoy, celebrate Kobe, celebrate being Laker fans, and being with the uncles and Jack and Levi and Steele, that was good.
Yeah. Uncle John having a hot discussion with the security guy.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Uncle John.
Don't go there. Don't go there, Jimmy.
No one was arrested.
Far from it.
I was going to say something about the love month. I think this relates. So our church is going through a digital fast. Started on, I think, actually Valentine's Day.
Yeah. We're on day 7 right now.
Yeah, so it started Valentine's Day up all the way until Easter for Lent. Man, I don't know if there's anyone or what the percentage of people that can honestly say, you know, I'm not addicted to my phone. I think that, but then I realize of these last 7 days, I'm addicted to my phone. I find myself turning for it like, dude, you're cleaning, you're driving, what do you need? So it's been only 7 days, but I think a very necessary reset for me personally. So what it's doing also is in my devotion time, I'm actually reading the Bible, not reading my phone. So this morning, as I'm reading just normal scriptures, I don't know, man. I don't want to spiritualize this. I do think there's something about taking information from a book and not my phone. I can't explain it all. Maybe there's some mysterious about it, but maybe I just feel nostalgic about, dude, I remember this where I would actually read books, reading the book that our pastor wrote. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't know, I was driving here today and me and Mom were talking about the effects that this is having on us so far. And I hope it will be a long-term effect after the 40 days, but if it's not, it's just a good time to create space for my addicted brain to my phone and not be so. I'm actually going places like without my phone, especially if me and Mom are together, because I think all my life I've thought, no, I have to have my phone. What if my kids need me? What if somebody needs me? It's like the chances of that are not very high. Yeah. I just put it in my mind that, oh, there might be an emergency. So I'm always living at emergency rate.
Yeah.
So I'm thankful for this time.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but there's graphs that show, what year did the iPhone come out? Was it 07, 08?
I mean, it was early 2000.
It was, somewhere, whatever year the iPhone came out, you can see across like all demographics, age, gender, the levels of anxiety in America started to increase, and they haven't gone down. People are more anxious every year, and the trend started the year the iPhone came out, which I think is not a coincidence.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel like there is the dopamine hits that you get from if it's scrolling through social media or going through your texts or YouTube, whatever. I know those are the things that I do. It is an addictive thing, and there is that our brains are not designed to function in that way. And I think that, you know, it's people say it so much now that it's almost become a cliche, but all of these screens, I think it's good to take a break from them.
And if you're watching, and again, I think it's hard to keep this in context. You know, some people might think, well, I need my phone. Well, yeah, you need your phone for certain things. But what I think people don't understand, which I didn't understand as I'm reading, as I'm learning, is that most apps that big tech creates are to make you addictive, to make me addicted, so they can sell. You know, it's all a money thing. So today's chapter was, or that I read, was what am I giving up? What are they taking from me? Mm-hmm. Attention span. The average human attention span is 8 seconds.
Wow.
The average goldfish attention span is 9 seconds.
Wow.
Goldfish are beating us.
Wow.
With attention span. So it's our attention. And it's our time that our digital devices are stealing. We're giving it to them. Yeah. So,
I
Auntie Shelley and I were just talking, I think it was yesterday. She had the day off, and we did something that, I mean, that neither you talked about leaving your phone home. We ran a bunch of errands. We were gone from the house for probably 5-6 hours without our phones. And but we were talking about something we noticed is we're sleeping better. And I've heard that, you know, the brightness of the screen when you're, you know, the room is dark before you go into bed, that keeps people up, even, you know, when they're done scrolling through their phones. So it's been the other part of this digital fast. I mean, I've felt a lot of just guilt, and I mean conviction, but guilt about, man, all the time that you know, you get that weekly report of screen time, and I mean mine was cut by 20-something%.
Wow.
Which was just a huge thing. But I think it's, for me, one of the things is when you're talking about anxiety, I just feel more, I find myself thinking more about just prioritizing things that are even more valuable, that add more value to my life, and not just being anxious about, oh man, what's, you know, what are the Lakers, what place are they in, or what are they gonna, you know, that kind of thing. That it's just really, things that are unnecessary become so, they kind of run amok in your life, yeah. You know, if you're not careful. So it's been a great thing. And, you know, in the beginning, I was like, you know, Pastor Darren, our pastor at Church of the City, when he was sort of talking this up, promoting it, encouraging people, I was like, you know what, I'll be a team player and participate. And it's just been, it's only been 7 days. And, you know, at times it's a challenge to not go get my phone and go straight to Instagram or Facebook. But I'm just, you know, one day at a time, if I can, I know that there's going to be a lot of benefits by the end of day 40.
Yeah. There's this famous photo. Well, it's famous now. I don't know if you guys have probably seen it, but last year when LeBron James broke the Kareem's scoring record. Do you guys know what photo I'm talking about?
Is it his son's?
So there's like the photographer's behind LeBron, so you can see everybody behind the basket, and literally every person has their phone out, they're recording, but there was one person sitting on the front row. It was Phil Knight. He's sitting next to Bronny James and Bryce James. He's the only person. He's just sitting there watching, and he just looks so content.
Yeah.
Wow. And everyone else, you can see the anxiety on their face. Obviously, it's an exciting moment. Everyone knows LeBron's about to do this, but this picture of Phil Knight just sitting there, he's just sitting watching. And I don't know. I would like to live life a little more like that. I think it's tempting to, I don't know why we want to record everything. And I guess because we want to share it to everyone, see, look what I saw or whatever.
To your point, there was there's a side-by-side photo of the ball dropping on New Year's Day in New York. Did you
see
that?
I've seen this, yeah.
Like 1998, right?
Everybody was just watching
this. No photo.
And then in 2023, everybody's up like that.
And the reaction, it seemed like the reaction in 98 was different than it was. Everyone seemed
more in awe.
Yeah, happier. The celebration seemed bigger, and now everyone just records and then post or send it to everyone. It's a weird thing.
I think, Joe, you brought something up. You know, we hear the term FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And again, whether it's the big tech, the creators of apps, it's all calculated. It's all intentional, right? So it's not just creating the technology, but it's tapping into the study of humans and how can you get them to not just be distracted, but literally be dependent on it. Mm-hmm. And I will admit and confess that is the idea of, man, I want to stay informed. You know, that's another sort of, call it a default excuse. You know, you got to, well, believe me, these devices, these apps, you know, a lot of the network news and all of those, the ratings are going down because people can easily get their information within the press of a button, and it's and many, many reliable sources. Was it 2 years ago, Chrissy and I and John and Shelley, we went to a concert. It was the first concert that we went to where we handed in our phones. Mm. I don't know what, they put them in some kind of pouch, and there was a whole system. It was amazing. That concert, I mean, it was the best concert I've seen. Mm. I mean, the band was amazing. But that was a huge part of it, is that no one had their devices, and people were celebrating. I think we were on our feet the entire 2 hours, you know. So I think that there's, you know, with our church, oh, for me right now, I'm on night three that I've kept my phone outside of my bedroom, right? So, and that's been a huge, for Chrissy and I, that's been a huge, huge deal.
Yeah.
So I think everyone has to determine, okay, you need to just start somewhere, and allow for this process. While it's just a 40-day digital fast, believe that something's going to develop, because the truth is, these devices aren't going away. They're going to only become more and more potent.
Convenient.
You know, the conveniency is always going to be. With AI,
I'm sure you guys have seen the Vision Pros, Vision Pros.
But we're gonna see a day. I mean, I don't think it's far fetched where you're not even gonna have a device. It's all gonna be, you know, like AirDrop is gonna mean something very literal.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that even reading the book, I feel like for me it's taking back my time, but also realizing that, you know, there's a scripture that talks about what is meant for good. You know, the enemy is using technology, which there's good in technology. There's advancement, but there's you know, we're talking about 18 years now, 15 to 18 years since the smartphone has come onto the scene. Yeah. And I think it's a conversation. I know for Chrissy and I, we talk a lot. And for me personally, I'm always thinking about, well, what's next? What does this mean for the future? And I think we as believers and as a body of believers, as the body of Christ, we've got to be willing to just wage war and just know that, what produces convenience for us could also be detrimental.
Yeah.
You know, so how do we navigate through that?
Definitely recommend the book by our pastor, Dr. Darren Whitehead, Digital Fast. I believe it's for sale.
We can find out more information.
Yeah, on Amazon.
That's great. That it kind of makes me think. I asked you guys before we started, or I told you guys about this song by this artist named Casey Musgraves that she just came out with. I think it was last week. It's called Deeper Well, and the message of the song is about as she's gotten older. There's been things that she's had to let go of, things that used to be a big part of who she was, and she basically has found what she calls deeper wells, things that are more, I guess, satisfying or even healthier for her. And I don't know. I think the song is really resonating with me because I feel like I'm in a season, maybe this last year, 2 years of my life, where I've been kind of letting go of some things from my young adulthood, moving into, not that I'm better, but just finding deeper wells. And I think that, you know, technology can definitely be a well that a lot of people draw their water from. But when we think about the anxiety that comes from it and the even pain that it can cause, it's not, that well is not deep enough for anybody.
Yeah.
And I think that it's appropriate as to finish on talking about, as we've been talking about the Love Month, talking about this month's verse of the month, I would like to ask you guys about what is that deep, that well for you guys? You guys are older than me, more experienced and been through more life than I have. And as a young man searching for deeper wells, I want to ask you guys, what is that well for you guys?
What a great question, Josh. I think it's very mature of you to ask that, because I wonder if some people live their whole lives never. I think that's a question that until recently I never asked myself, because in some ways I was running from myself because I was so shallow in so many areas that I'd be like, nah, I don't want to face those shallow places. I think a deeper well, as I'm coming to understand, when the John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Why would God give his only son? That whosoever believes in him would not die, but have everlasting life. I think that that word everlasting life is, that's the journey of the deeper wells. And everlasting life to me, I think, is not just life after death. It's the way you live your life today. Like, Jesus didn't die for us to just journey. I remember growing up saying, oh, we're just pilgrims passing through. Yes, I believe that. I believe that this is not our final home. But also, God, everlasting life, the kingdom of God, what is the kingdom of God? It's living this life in God's way. And I do think that God, there's so many scriptures, I came to give you life and life to the full. Life, wholehearted living. I know the plans I have you, plans to give you hope and a future. Yes, the future in heaven, but hope here. What is that well? To me, and going back to the whole digital thing, it's real. It's true intimacy. It's true connectedness. What are we all looking for when we're going on our phones? Yeah. We're looking for something. Well, let me speak for myself. I think I'm looking for that dopamine to cover my loneliness, to fulfill my, well, maybe, what else do I need to buy? And it's not, as we know, it's not a bad thing to own things, just as things don't own you. And I know for me, sometimes those things have owned me. My house, my possessions, my car, my success, my career, my reputation. So the deep well, and I'll land the plane. The deep well is wholehearted living. It's the kingdom of God coming into my life. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's living God's way, living with true connection. Today, the chapter I read was Pastor Darren wrote, do you remember the days when you to know somebody, you would need to go to lunch with them or have them over for dinner? Hey, how was your vacation? Oh, let me show you the pictures. We don't have to do that anymore because we can just go on their page and think we know everything about them and never connect. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what the enemy is trying to steal. When he says that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he's trying to steal from us true intimacy, kill our connectivity, and destroy us living in the deep wells. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can't judge for anyone else what that means. Everybody should come to know. I know for me, there's a place where I have room for people now, like connected, not this, mm-hmm. and some of that is necessary. Yeah. But I'm trying to find the deep well, I know I said I'd end. The way I can describe it is this. When you and Eli were born, I was young. It was appropriate for me. I was trying to provide. I was trying to be. I was trying to build. And I missed out on some of the moments that I believe God wanted me to have with you guys. Mm-hmm. With Josiah, because I'm older, hopefully a little bit wiser, mm-hmm. I'm experiencing deeper wells. Mm-hmm. And you're like, well, what is it? It's just time. It's less of what can I do for Josiah and more of I get to be with him. Mm-hmm. That's deep wells.
That's great. Yeah.
So good, Joe. And I agree. I mean, the question coming from you, Josh, you're not even 30 yet. I think it says that you'll probably avoid some of the pain, some of the heartache that we've gone through. Because when you're younger, you don't think about deeper wells or, man, you don't think about how can my life be simple but yet more satisfying. I love all that you said, Joe. And I think deeper wells for me has a lot to do with my relationships. And the time, the adequate but quality time that I spend with the people that I love, my sons, my wife, Shelly's kids, grandkids, my brothers, even my neighbors. Shelly and I, and my wife is one of the things I love so much about her. But one of the things that I really love about her is her. She's so genuine when it comes to getting to know people or wanting to know people in as intimate as possible. And I've seen that in the way she's interacted and brought me along to interact with our neighbor to the right, Angela. And we've got a new neighbor who's on the other side of our condo, Miss Mary. I'd say the last 10, 15 years, that's kind of been absent from my life. So when I think about, man, what are some of the deeper wells, is really just being more intentional about caring for people. And I really love the place, the space, or even the journey that God has Katina Ministries in when it comes to people. It was really amazing, you know, a month ago to play in front of probably one of the largest crowds we played at when we were in Manila. It was 50-something thousand people. But I would say, and I think my brothers would agree with me, genuinely what really was more impactful, more satisfying is seeing the maybe 10% that came forward and maybe another 5% lesser that got baptized. There was a time when it was just about the numbers. There was a time when it was just about, you know, followers and likes. You know, some of that has importance, but that's not deeper wells. It's really about getting to know the cousins, the Chris Grahams, you know, the Legaia and Craig Collado. Just really not because of what they do for us. And I think that's a thing that God does when you desire to go deeper and Joe's talking about connectivity with other people, you see the value, but you also it's so gratifying.
Really good. I thank you for that question, Josh. I think about you know, I'm not a scuba diver or a deep diver, but one of the things you learn about the deep oceans is the deeper you go, there are things that you've never seen before because there's clarity. And I think that with that question, what are your deeper wells? For me, it's being aware and being in tune with my personal journey, my day-to-day journey, which includes the victories and my pursuits to being a better man, being a better husband, a father, a brother, a friend. But it's also being real and honest with areas in my life that I don't like, that I, my struggles, my sin nature. Deeper well, if I admit to it, it's being okay to look at the ugly and the sick parts of me. Because I think if I'm truly going to not only advance but see the journey for what it is, I'm a person who only in a lot of ways I just want to see the good and dwell on that, and I think that's it's part of human nature. But I think for me to truly be a whole man and a whole husband and a father and a friend, it's looking at the parts that don't just need to be looked at, but how can I heal? How can I get better? How can I not make the same mistakes? My journey is, it's the journey. And I sometimes I don't, there's just things that I procrastinate on. It's, it's not a big deal. It's not hurting anyone. It's, you know, but I think that deeper well is, to me, it's the analogy of really dealing. So growing closer with Jesus and looking into what are the ways of Jesus that I've not pursued yet, and growing in my relationship with my wife, intimately, with my children, with my loved ones, and being okay that I could admit my faults, being okay to look at the fact that for as long as I live, there's just going to be some things that are not going to be where they need to be, and it's just that pursuit. It's the journey. So sometimes I feel good, and I feel accomplished, and I feel like I'm in a good place. But maybe even just a couple days ago, I could admit that, man, I messed up there, or there's a longing, there's something that's wrong. So I appreciate that question.
I appreciate you guys. I thank you for sharing that. And as we end today's show and come to the end of Love Month, I want you guys to know I love you. I love you, Uncle James. I love you, Uncle John. I love you, Josh.
I love you, Josh.
It's a privilege to be here and to share a few moments with you guys. So
thank you.
Love you guys. Shout out to Casey Musgraves. And to those of you listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with more episodes soon. Have a great day.